Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Annie Weeble. She is a paranormal investigator and she's my friend, and you guys have been asking for her to come back. So Annie, welcome to the show.
Leslie, who asked for me? Number one. Who is the wild person that asked me? No, I'm so grateful for that. I did not realize that it had been almost a year. Actually, a little more than a year.
I know. No, it's been so long. It's been too long. And I'm telling you, I've had messages. I get messages from people a lot about a lot of the people that I interview. And a few of them didn't know your last name, but they knew your first name. They're like, Annie. I was like, Annie Weeble. They're like, yeah, have her back on. And I'm like, okay. I know that you and I have been talking about some of the things that has been developing with you and your paranormal investigating. You've got some new theories going on. So let's talk about it. Tell me what's going on.
Oh my gosh. So I'm so excited. Number one, thank you to anyone who has listened over the years. I'm always grateful to come on and share stories. Yes. You and I have talked about ghost stories. We have talked about the Mothman, because you know, I'm from Appalachia, Southern West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
But something has kind of garnered my attention over the past couple of years in paranormal investigating. I want to pick your brain about it. I want to pick your listeners' brains about it, because I think this is probably the most analytical that I'm going to get about any paranormal talk that we have ever had.
I love it.
That's kind of an oxymoron. Yeah. What I want to kind of talk to you about are what I would call psychic hauntings. Mm. Can we create hauntings in real time? Essentially, can we become our own ghosts?
I love that. Tell me what you think.
Okay, I'll tell you why. So the reason I even kind of get started in all of this, number one, is that I feel like every human is born with the innate ability to have some type of psychic interaction with the things that we cannot see.
Yes.
I know that as a child, I have always felt that in my gut, that there were things that we couldn't see, but we could communicate with. Mm. Whether you want to call those ghosts and spirits of loved ones who have passed on, whether you consider that as extraterrestrial or ultra-terrestrial beings.
Right.
I have always felt that there were other dimensions and levels that we could communicate with if you opened yourself up to that. Now, the problem with that is that, like me, a lot of people are stifled in those beliefs. Yeah. I grew up in a very Southern Baptist background.
Yeah.
And so anytime I mentioned anything like that as a kid, it was immediately put to bed.
Okay.
Because it was not an accepted belief.
Right.
It wasn't until I was an adult that I really got back into that, that I started re-examining what type of psychic and intuitive abilities that I had and what other people had.
Yeah.
As an investigator, that came into play in a number of the, especially the residential cases that we did over the years.
Yeah.
So kind of flash forward to 2020, the very beginning of 2020, and the pandemic happens.
Okay.
Now, over the years, I have gotten hundreds of phone calls, emails, social media messages from people that I don't know asking me for advice about hauntings that they are experiencing in their own homes.
Right.
As a very young investigator, we used to go out and do what we call residential cases. And these were basically people who would just reach out to us and say, hey, my house is haunted and I need help. Will you come help me?
Right.
There were a lot of these that we dove into that, looking back at it now, we probably weren't ready.
Yeah.
Right. And even though we would go through a line of questioning with these people, we realized that people either by, you know, they're not admitting that they were experiencing what they are experiencing, or not just knowing that they were kind of creating their own hauntings. Wow. They weren't being fully honest with us in what they were experiencing and why. But the why is the real question.
And you're not talking Ouija board. You're not talking poltergeist, right?
No, we're talking about regular folk in Appalachia. who would reach out to us and say, these things are happening. Can you come help us?
Wow.
And so during COVID, I noticed that I got an increasing number of emails and phone calls and messages saying, oh my gosh, I'm experiencing so much activity in my own home. Can you help me? Well, of course, during COVID, we can't go out and help.
Right.
And so my thought backtracking in a lot of this was, why is this happening right now? Why are all these people reaching out to me? Are all these people really realizing that their homes are haunted just because we kind of became prisoners in our own homes for a number of months?
Yeah.
Or are we contributing to this activity?
Yeah.
So that goes back to the thought process of kind of just what I called psychic hauntings, a level of energy from anxiety, from grief, from stress that has nowhere else to go. So when it festers within our own homes, are we creating our own activity with that?
It makes sense because think about it. Everything is energy. And if it has nowhere to go, it can make you sick. It can make you imagine things. It can make you not sleep. It can make you fight. And it all, like you said, festers up. It kind of makes sense. I mean, I get it. So tell me more about what you're hearing. What makes this make you feel differently about it?
The number one concern that we got from folks during this period was that they were experiencing PK activity, psychokinetic energy within their own homes. So psychokinetic energy, to kind of break it down, is literally the ability to manipulate and or move things just by using your mind.
Wow. Okay. Like bending a spoon or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so some people will look at psychokinetic energy like that's just hogwash. Look at the military. The military worldwide has studied psychokinetic energy and what we can do with the human mind.
Yeah.
Go back to Nazi Germany and re-examine it. Go back to the 1950s and 60s in the United States with projects like MKUltra.
Right.
And DARPA, where they have manipulated the human mind to see if we can use it as a war mechanism.
Well, they use it for remote viewing as well.
Right. So you can't tell me that there's not some type of at least a scientific theory that says that the human mind cannot create or manipulate something.
Right.
So if governments worldwide have attempted to harness this type of power, then why wouldn't we be able to create it in our own homes and it create an activity that people actually became afraid of?
Right. No, I totally agree. Wow. Okay.
So when people started messaging me, and I mean, I was getting messages probably every other day.
Oh my God.
I'm thinking there's a trend.
Yeah.
When you see a trend, you start to develop a scientific pattern with it, right? So I go back and I think, why is this happening to us?
Yeah.
Are we using our own energy to put into whatever is either here, has been here before, to create this psychokinetic energy? Mm-hmm. Then I started going back. I have case logs. So I started doing paranormal investigating in 2009, I think.
Oh, wow. A long time ago.
Yeah, it's been about 15 years.
Wow.
I started pulling case logs from some of our first residential cases. And Leslie, I swear, I started seeing patterns in the way that certain families would reach out to us, the types of activity that they were experiencing, and being able to kind of pinpoint that down to their own energy playing into these hauntings.
Okay.
So the first case that came to mind in 2015 or 2016, I was contacted by a local couple. They were elderly. Mm-hmm. They were around 70 years old. They had lived in their home for 40 years.
Wow. Okay.
40 years.
Yeah.
And the husband and the family, I'm not going to name any names just to keep anonymity.
Sure.
But the husband and the family reaches out to me and he says, we have had some of the most frightening activity in our home. in the past year, and I cannot understand it.
Wow.
Their claims ranged from full-bodied apparitions.
Oh my God.
They had seen an adult male. They had seen a little girl. The male and the female in the family had both claimed that they had been inappropriately touched while trying to sleep in their own bed.
Oh my Lord.
Right. What? So this was something that was really frightening them.
Yeah.
They were having bouts of nausea and physical illness. They were hearing EVP voice phenomena. They were hearing audible voice phenomena. And he reached out to us. He just found us on the internet and called us.
Wow.
So we went out to this house, and the first thing that we noticed, our basic piece of equipment, was an EMF detector. So electromagnetic fields. Right. Electromagnetic field is something that is created within the earth.
Okay.
So the level of electromagnetic field in their house was crazy through the roof.
Okay.
Everywhere we went through the house, the EMF fields were just off the charts. Something was amiss, but probably not paranormal.
Because it could be like telephone lines, electric lines, that kind of thing.
So what we found out later was that this home had actually been a parsonage for an old church.
Oh.
And the man who owned the home came in and renovated it, and he did all of his own electrical wiring. He was not an electrician.
That'll do
by
it.
By any means.
Okay.
And so the electrical lines that were in this house were faulty.
Okay.
And so we had to kind of backtrack and say, okay, is this something that this super high level of EMF has created?
Yeah.
But then we're like, okay, these people have been here for 40 years.
Right.
If the electrical wiring had been that bad all along, why now? Why within the past year have they started having this really kind of scary activity in their home? What we found out after a couple of different investigations was that his wife, who was not very vocal during the initial meet and greet, they were so afraid they would not stay with us during an investigation. They had already moved out of the house. We met with them once and they left. They wouldn't stay.
Wow.
The wife in the family had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
And although she said she had not started any new medications, her illness was something new that had been introduced during this time period that something was going on.
Okay.
It was a shift in the timeline of their lives. If any of your listeners have heard anything about kind of the high strangeness movement.
Yeah.
That's been going through the paranormal field in the past couple of years, you've heard the term liminality. So liminal spaces are states of transition. Liminality is just being in a state of transition.
Okay.
The word liminality comes from the Latin term limen, which means threshold.
Okay.
So it's literally like a doorway into something else. So a pattern that we started to see with these families in these cases were these liminal states that they did not know how to react to.
Mm.
So these states of transition, the way I would kind of describe a liminal state is like moving from one house to another house.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to pack up your old house, you've got the boxes here and you've still got the electric on at one house,
right,
but you're trying to move everything to the other house, but maybe you don't have your electric on yet, right?
Right.
So you're still staying in the old house, but you're trying to move into the new house. Well, then the new house has electric and the old one doesn't, right?
Right.
You don't really belong in either space, but you're trying to transition from one to the other. That's
good
a
analogy.
Liminal state.
Good analogy.
So these families were all in liminal states.
Oh.
We did a number of investigations for this family. They ended up selling the house and never moved back in. And after probably the third investigation and us sharing a number of EVPs with them, they went quiet for a long time until COVID.
Okay.
And during the midst of the pandemic, he calls me after 5 years and he says, "You're not going to believe this, but the activity has followed us to our new house." Right. So the same type of activity that they were experiencing in the other house, which shot down all of our theories right. that it had been because it was associated with an old church or yeah. whatever. We had physical evidence that came out of these investigations. We had EVPs. We had a picture of half of a full-bodied apparition that what? Came from this house that looks like it is a man in a military uniform.
Wow.
Swear to God. So when all of this other stuff started happening, we're like, there has to be something here. Why can't we find it? Why can't we put our fingers on it?
Yeah.
But then the family calls and tells us they're experiencing this activity again.
Oh,
and I said, let me ask you a question. Has anything traumatic happened within your family in the past, 6 months to a year?
Yeah.
And he said, my wife just lost her sister
oh.
to COVID. And they really did not have a good relationship mm. when she passed. And my wife is just very upset over it.
Mm.
To me, that was part of the answer.
Yeah. No,
I feel like there was a type of psychic energy
mm-hmm.
that this woman was exuding that she didn't even know that she was exuding that gave the energy for those manifestations.
I agree. It's residual maybe, but it's yeah. still something that hangs around. Because think about it. Do you think that we could actually have time slips within our own reality? Because we can do Reiki, right? We can go back and maybe fix things or whatever. Do you think we could go back and be that person that we used to be in the military and you just see half of us and it's like you don't see the whole body, but it's maybe you in another time coming to visit yourself? Do you think we can do that like a time traveler?
1,000%. Because think about doppelgangers.
I know.
So I have a couple of others. So think about this. Just recently, I had actually an old investigator friend.
Yeah.
Now, this is a guy who knows the paranormal.
Okay.
He and I have investigated together off and on for the past 15 years, right? Okay. We have been in some of the creepiest, craziest yeah. locations together.
Right.
And I fully respect his opinion on the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
He's called me within the past week and said, we moved into our home a couple of years ago. And over the past couple of months, we have started experiencing things that are so extreme that I can't even explain.
Oh, wow.
PK activity to the point that furniture is being turned over.
What?
He has he's physically seen like medicine bottles fly across the room.
Oh, my God.
Things setting off their Ring cameras and leaving messages. The messages are blank.
Oh, my God.
But his number one concern was that he and his wife have both experienced doppelganger activity. They have both seen each other's physical being in their house when they weren't really there.
Okay, that would freak me out.
And he said that. He was like, I've never experienced anything like this.
Oh my God.
And I started kind of diving into what was going on in their life at this time.
Yeah.
They're in a huge liminal state of being right now.
Oh, okay.
They just had a new baby. They have recently moved into this home within the past couple of years.
Yeah.
One of the members of the family lost a job.
Mm.
And so they are in this huge state of transition. They're neither here nor there.
Yeah.
They're not working at the old job. And so I started asking questions about what was going on when you saw this doppelganger activity. And he said, well, she saw me and I saw her one day when the other was supposed to be at work.
Oh, my God.
But just lost a job, right?
Yeah.
So you're in this state of transition where you were supposed to be in one place in another timeline, and now you're not.
Okay, so it's true. I mean, maybe this stuff can happen. Maybe this really can happen then.
I've always had a problem with justifying doppelganger
yes.
activity. And kind of the way that I have imagined it in the past was that if you are in a location frequently and you're depositing your own physical energy every time that you're there, then at some point you are bound to leave a physical mark.
Yeah.
I still believe that. But the more that I study into different dimensions and timelines. I don't not believe that there are alternate timelines out there that we were meant in another course to live out.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. And then you're seeing that part of you live out that portion, whether it's coming or going or whatever. And maybe it is in the same house, or maybe it is in the same timeline where you are, wherever that is. Because even when you think, does it create a timeline even when you think it? Am I correct in thinking that way?
Who's to say that it couldn't? Because even in thinking something, you're creating a level of energy. This is all about energy.
It really is.
Energy is never created or destroyed. It just changes form.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. We can make ourselves sick with our minds. We can heal ourselves with our minds. Why can't we, and not even on purpose, create a timeline or time slip? And you end up, you know, throwing that energy into another dimension, and that dimension catches up with you and you see yourself. Maybe you don't recognize it's yourself. I don't even know, because you don't really see. It's not like that comes up to you and says, hi. You kind of see the distance of it, or you hear somebody saying they saw you.
Yes. And so I look at it like in a perspective of, okay, so go back to the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
When I started to get a lot of these phone calls and messages and emails from people who were saying that they were experiencing this type of activity.
Yeah.
The pandemic was the perfect, imperfect liminal state for every freaking person in the world.
I agree.
Think about it.
Yes.
We lost so many people that we thought were going to be around. Hell, I lost one of my best friends.
Yes.
He was 38
yes.
when he passed. You and I have talked about him yes. before. There are still timelines in my life that I cannot imagine. I can't imagine him not being in.
Yeah.
Because it seems so unnatural. That happened for so many people.
Well, and it's also an element of fear, though, Annie, too. When you get in that fear element, fear is a very energetic energy. I mean, it's just, it's chaotic to me. And it's supposed to be, I think, chaotic, because it's just so attractive to things that aren't the best things out there.
There was so much anxiety associated with the pandemic
yeah.
that people didn't know how to react. Right. And I was one of those people. I'm people. I can 1000% tell you that, because I had a baby at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I had a newborn baby who was born prematurely and who was in the NICU for the first days of her life.
Yes.
And so coming home as someone who, I will fully tell you and all of your listeners this, looking back at it now, I was suffering from the most severe postpartum anxiety. And I had no freaking clue that that's what I was going through
wow.
in that moment.
Oh.
And a lot of it is the physicality of childbirth.
Well, yeah.
But a lot of it was societal, too, because of what we were experiencing in that time period. I closed myself in this house. I closed
oh, yeah.
Rory in this house like we were prisoners, and we didn't leave for months.
I same with us. And, you know, there's that, because they, you know, they didn't know what they know now. And it really truly was, yes, anxiety ridden, but there was just a lot of fear. And I think they enjoy, I think sometimes they enjoyed perpetuating that to make us all maybe think a different way. Maybe it was supposed to happen this way so that we could all maybe have some kind of awakening. I don't know if you love that word, but I do think it started this, don't you?
I do. And I think we all look at things a little differently. You know, if we have the ability to look at things differently after that, we need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it created a different society.
It did.
In creating this different society, I think we created a lot of this very anxious energy.
Yes.
That nobody knew what to do with. We, like I said, we were prisoners in our own home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so all of these people start experiencing this different activity that they can't explain.
Totally makes sense.
And my kind of rationale behind it was, we're doing this to ourselves.
Right?
Do we really have more psychic power than we thought we did?
Oh, great.
Great point. I mean, I agree. I think that's very true. I mean, we're all connected, whether we want to believe it or not, whether anyone wants to believe there's an afterlife or not.
in my mind and how I see things and how I think things work, we're all connected. And so because we're all connected, it's more powerful. It gains strength.
We are tethered in a way that we don't understand.
Right.
And if we would all be smart if we were to step back and look at those tethers and what they mean.
Yes.
And in saying that, I mean, you know, there's an element of this that we're kind of all in this together.
Yeah.
And we were so separated during the pandemic, physically, emotionally, mentally. People went through things that we never thought we would have to experience in this lifetime.
Right.
Grief, the loss of jobs. And so, you know, people's financial statuses tanked.
Right.
It was that perfect liminal storm.
Right.
That I think created a lot of this activity. And like you said, maybe even an awakening for a lot of us who needed to be shaken.
Right.
And look at things a little differently.
Right. So let me ask you this. What do you think is some type of remedy? Is there one? Does it have to play out? Do we just fix it within ourselves? What do you think we should be doing?
So in talking with my friend, the investigator, who's had this very recent outbreak of activity,
yeah.
My answer to him was, yes, you can move into a house that has paranormal activity.
Yeah.
I'm not totally going away from the belief that ghosts exist,
that
energies exist.
Sure.
I still believe that energies can linger behind in a space.
Right.
Maybe we are giving them the energy that they need to manifest.
Oh, absolutely.
So that was my number one thing, was that if there's energy in this house, let's figure out what it is.
Right.
Number one, it could be a misunderstanding of energies that are just clashing in that space.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing that he or anyone else who is experiencing this, I would suggest they do, is to really kind of search within themselves about grief, anxiety, trauma, depression, things that they are mentally and physically carrying within themselves that can create that type of energy.
Yes.
These are the things that we've got to freaking let go of, man.
Oh, I agree. And you know, it's funny because, you know, the pandemic is what made you go, oh, but it could have been someone's death that made them feel this way. It could have been the loss of a child or a parent. But what made you think of it was the pandemic, which absolutely could have been one too. But I think this has probably been going on for a long time, don't you think?
It has, because think about, this is just the first real awakening that our generation has seen. In generations before that, you look at war, you look at famine and the Great Depression, and things that really, in hindsight, you know, I can't downgrade what COVID was for our society.
Sure. Yeah.
But there were things and there were people who lived much harder than we did during COVID.
Right.
Because we all lost someone.
Right.
But no, I feel like it is a cycle. It's a time cycle.
I agree. I was just going to say, is it some kind of cycle? I was literally going to say that. And I do believe there's a time part of it. Yes, absolutely. So now tell me, what else did you tell them to do?
My suggestion to them was really to approach this from an internal standpoint, mm-hmm. as opposed to an external standpoint. I don't want them to immediately jump into thinking, this is something that I have to be afraid of.
Mm.
Oh my God, there's this terrible, angry spirit living in this house that I just bought. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
Because I don't believe that's the case.
Right.
I feel like this is an opportunity to really do some introspective examination and say, are there traumas? Are there anxieties? Are there levels of depression that I can work on for myself to make my energy more positive?
Right.
If I put that positive energy out into the universe, then I'm much more likely to get positive back.
And it'll change it because it can't be destroyed, but you can change it.
You can change it. You can absolutely change it. I know that from personal experience. the amount of postpartum anxiety that I experienced after the birth of my daughter was just...
I can only imagine.
It's hard to describe. And looking back at it now, I did not understand how deep I was into it.
I'm so sorry.
But it also gives you the opportunity to look at other people and say, I get that. I see what you're living through. Right. To know that there you have the opportunity to change and the ability to change your own mindset.
Yes.
My suggestion to them was to really do some heavy meditation if they had the opportunity. Now, from a, you know, kind of a spiritual practitioner standpoint, I light my candles, I light my sage or my Palo Santo. I go through guided meditations where you can basically find anywhere.
I have
some
right,
amazing psychic friends who have sent me guided meditations. But if people don't have those, literally you can go on YouTube and find, you know, meditation, music or guided meditations. Do these meditations, find your peaceful place and put that positive energy back out into your space.
You know, Annie, it's funny you say this because, you know, I've talked a lot about this on my podcast. You know, my mom, everybody knows I can talk to my mom. And my mom takes me to the healing temple because I ask her. And that's kind of a meditation for me at night. It's a healing temple and anybody can do this. So let's say you don't believe in anything Annie and I are talking about, but let's just say you take this as an experiment. I want you to lay down. I want you to think of someone you love who has passed, animals, people, whatever it is, right? And you say, hey, listen, I know you love me. I want you to take me to the healing chapel, healing temple, whatever you want to call it. And I want you to surround me with like a cocoon of light and just get rid of negative energy, heal me, take care of me. If I fall asleep, just keep going. I guarantee you, you will feel better the next day. And that is how you can change energy. But it also is a very easy way to meditate without going, I don't know what that means. I don't know what meditating is. That's a simple way that I do it. And you can do it every night if you want.
It is. It's finding that peaceful spot for you.
Yes.
And being able to just calm your mind.
Yes.
Calming your mind is calming your body. And that in turn is going to calm your external space and the spaces for everyone around you.
Right. And it's a lot less expensive than going to the hospital.
1,000%.
Right? Because we can make ourselves sick.
Right. I can tell you that because I've worked in one for 15 years.
Yeah.
And I think the pandemic actually pushed me further away from that career too, you know,
understand.
Seeing practical medicine the way that it works. You know, you have had on your podcast, Christina Curran.
Yes.
I love Christina. She's an amazing person.
Yes.
And she has taken me through a couple of past life regressions.
Yes.
It has been so beneficial for me to sit down and unconsciously kind of unload this stress, the things that no longer serve me.
Right.
And so I would implore anyone who is listening to kind of do the same thing, to be able to find their own way to let go of the things that no longer serve them.
Right. However they do it, like if they just want to sit and listen to music or listen to frequency music or whatever it is and just say, you know, God, source, mom, dad, a Pookie, the dog, whatever, take this negative energy from me. And it's honestly good for anyone to do that. It doesn't have to be because you think you're getting haunted. It could just be because you want it.
It can be so simple.
Yes.
And it's something that can bring so much peace in that frame of mind. And if there's anything that our society is lacking right now, it's peace.
Yes.
If we don't start internally somewhere, then we're going to send this down to generations of our kids and our grandkids. They are going to continue to live the discord that we lived from the COVID pandemic.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm all about, guys, if you can find it in your heart to be more accepting of every lifestyle, it may not be something you agree with. It may not be something that you want for anyone in your family, but if they feel that that is something they have to do, find it in your heart if you can. Because you know what? Honestly, that's how we're taught. If you want to go back to the Bible, and I'm not one to go to the Bible, but that's how we're taught. We've got to be more accepting. We've got to be less divided, guys, because I tell you, it's bringing more and more anxiety, fear, disinformation to this world. And we're here to love each other. I think we forgot that.
We did. And I think things like war and COVID and these time cycles that we have lived through make it easy to forget that. Yes. It makes it easy to push people to the side and say, I'm just going to live by myself and nobody else matters.
Right.
And at the end of the day, we really don't want to live that way. No. I don't want to live a life of complete and total seclusion.
No.
I want to live a life of peace and being able to share that peace
yes.
with other
Absolutely.
People.
See, that's beautiful. And that's the thing. I mean, if we could just do that. So, Annie, please tell me you're going on an investigation soon.
So we've got a couple of things coming up throughout the summer.
Okay.
There is the old hospital on College Hill in Williamson, West Virginia.
That's so
Guys,
cool.
Oh my gosh. I haven't been there since last August, and we had one of the most insane investigations
oh my gosh.
That I've had in a very long time. So we are visiting there this summer. There are a couple of other locations. And honestly, you know what? I would challenge some of your listeners, Leslie,
yeah.
that if they are in this area mm-hmm. or if they would ever want to meet up to do paranormal investigations,
because yes.
I'm always open.
Oh my gosh. Now tell me where exactly, like, where would you want to meet? Like, what's the nearest town so they can kind of keep it in their back burner if they want to travel to see you or if they're close?
So I'm in southern West Virginia, but I'm right on the border of Ohio and Kentucky.
Okay.
There is the old hospital on College Hill in Williamson, West Virginia.
Yes.
There's the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Oh.
That, yeah, I'm within 2 hours of. And then in September, the third weekend of September is the Mothman Festival, guys. In
oh
Point Pleasant,
gosh.
West Virginia, I am always at the Mothman Festival, and I'm always looking for new people, new listeners, new investigators to meet up with. I have taken groups out to the TNT bunkers before,
wow.
Where the original Mothman sightings happened. So I would say, Leslie, put my information out there.
I will, because my friend Wendy Koch went last year, and I've had her on my podcast. She's a podcaster as well. She should have you on hers. She went to the Mothman Festival last year.
And it's amazing how many people get there, but we never actually meet up because
right?
there's so many people there.
I know.
So we should start a feed within like your Facebook
yeah,
group of
yeah.
people who want to meet up for these things.
Yes.
We can make it happen. It's
Absolutely.
Not hard.
No.
But I love meeting people who have questions about the paranormal
yes.
Or cryptids or whatever.
Yeah.
So feel free to reach out to me to put that information out
okay.
there. Let's all meet up somewhere. Let's get into
it.
Some weird stuff.
Oh my gosh, girl, I will do it. I will add everything to my show notes. You guys, get a hold of Annie. She lives right there. So take advantage of this if you want to travel or if you live close. Wendy, you heard me talk about you. You find her too if you want to go back. And Annie, as always, thank you so much for being on my podcast. I'm going to have you back. You know I will.
Girl, I love you. Anybody who has anything that they would want to hear us talk about, I am always willing.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Reach out with, you know, any paranormal questions, cryptids, whatever, and we'll do it. We'll do it soon.
We'll do it soon. I love you. We'll talk soon, girl.
Love you too.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.